Welcome back to the Policy Viz podcast. I am your host, John Schwabish. On this week's episode, I'm going to sit down and chat with a couple of people about the Information Plus conference that was held recently in Potsdam, Germany. I spent a couple of days at the conference, plus a day just before the pre-conference workshop with a couple of folks from The Pudding, who do some great work with data and stories and interactive visualizations. A few notes before we get into this week's episode. First, I'm now going to be publishing transcriptions of each episode. The transcriptions will show up probably a few days after the episode initially posts. So if you're interested in having the full text, if you're interested in being able to quote it or cite it, please make sure you come back to the site later each week. I'll have the transcription up at the bottom of the show notes for each episode. Second thing is that I've pulled together a list of my favorite data visualization books, presentation tools, biographies, brain books, a lot of my favorite stuff on my new Amazon affiliates page. There's a link on the show notes, so if you're interested in checking out what some of my favorite books are and things that I use to give presentations, you can go over to Amazon and check those out. And finally, I have launched a Patreon page to help support the show. As you know, the show does not have ads. I don't go out and try to seek funding from corporate sponsors, so there are no ads on the show. But if you are interested in helping support the show, that would be great. Just a few bucks here or there would help me out, to help me pay for the audio editing, pay for the transcription services, pay for the good audio materials and products that I need to make the show great. I would really appreciate it. There's a link to the Patreon page on the show notes, so if you can go over there, drop a couple bucks, would really help support the show. Lots of different levels that you can donate to, so please do check out the Patreon page. So on this week's show, I sat down with John Byrne Murdoch from the Financial Times, Andy Kirk from Visualizing Data, and Anna Wedeker from NZZ in the Netherlands to talk about the Information Plus conference. And just one note before you get to the show, we sat down, the four of us sat down outside the conference during the last break before the final three talks. And the final three talks were really tremendous talks, great topics to try to, I think, bring a lot of the topics together that were discussed over the course of the 2 days. And spent a little bit of time talking about, those speakers spent a little bit of time talking about data ethics, talking about diversity in the field, talking about some sort of bigger think type topics. So the conversation you're about to hear took place before those last three sessions, but I would really recommend that you take a look at the videos for those three sessions when they become available on the conference website, as well as a lot of the other talks that we that the four of us talk about in the episode you are about to listen to. So without further ado, here is this week's Policy Viz podcast episode with myself, John Byrne Murdoch, Andy Kirk, and Anna Wedeker sitting outside at the Information Plus conference. All right, all. Well, thanks for sitting outside on a lovely fall German day.
It's beautiful.
Right? How about this? Why don't we quick introductions so everybody knows who they're listening to, and then we can talk about Information Plus.
Okay.
All right, hit it.
Andy Kirk, Visualizing Data.
Anna Wedeker from Neue Zürcher Zeitung.
John Byrne Murdoch, Financial Times.
Nice. All right, so we got our spot.
For you.
And me, John Schwabish, with the podcast that I'm putting in quotes. That's been that Moritz nicely put in quotes this week. All right, so 2 days, Information Plus. How many talks have we seen?
Oh,
like 26, 27, something like that?
I'm not good with numbers.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's been at least about 25, maybe.
Okay, well, let's set the stage, I guess, a little bit. Mm. So we're here in Potsdam, Germany.
Yeah.
We are at a university, which name I cannot pronounce. Anna, you want to pronounce it for us?
It's the Fachhochschule in Potsdam.
The, there you go. That's the one. That's the one.
And this is the second Info Plus.
This is
the
second Info Plus.
So I went to the Vancouver one, inaugural in Vancouver 2 years ago.
Right.
And, I really enjoyed it, actually. I was out there anyway, but it was nice to get to. I think for me, what interests me in being here is about the mixture of people and backgrounds. So it's not an academic conference. It's not a I don't know, like a creative coders conference. It's not a bar chart conference. It's a nice mixture.
It's trying to bring all those different skills together.
Yeah, yep. Both in terms of talkers and participants.
Right. Do we want to talk about favorite talks?
Sure.
You have favorite talks?
Before we're even done yet.
Well.
Yeah, we're not even done yet. That's true. So
that
we should we catch this. There are three talks left. Is that right? So we're at Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
There's three talks left. So we're gonna the sample selected. But
favorite talks so far.
Favorite talks so far. Yeah. Let me just set the stage a little bit. So the talks were a mix of 20, 25-minute keynotes,
yeah.
Some 15-minute talks, and then a bunch of 5-minute lightning talks. That
right.
I will say this for the organizers. They were really good at keeping people on time.
Yeah.
There was no...
True what they say about the Germans.
Yeah, it's run very smoothly. And yeah. I like that format.
Yeah.
Because even in 20 minutes, the longer talks, even if you're not on board, it's over quite quickly.
That's right. That's right.
And it, you know, it's hard even to reduce a talk to 20 minutes, yeah. Let alone 5 minutes, which is remarkable, really, when you see the lightning talks, how quickly that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I liked most was the lightning talk format.
Yeah.
I think my favorite, you know, the lightning talks allow you to cover quirky things, little things that don't almost merit 20 minutes of discussion. But I really liked the piece by I think it was Dina. It was the student at I can't remember the institute in Finland, but it was it Aalto, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was just to talk about this idea that, well, the premise was that Finnish people are not, you know, wonderful in sort of social occasions like at bus stops. They don't have that interaction. And you know, as a British person, that's very much, you know,
yeah,
in line with that that viewpoint. But the idea was that to facilitate the, I guess, the ice-breaking element of the conference they were running, visualizing knowledge, it was,
right,
back in May this year, they developed these little these kind of little radar devices that people self-rated against 8 dimensions of, I think, personality or interests. And then on your lanyard, you got a profile.
Yeah, the graph of your,
that's
of
right,
your survey results.
And it was an icebreaker, so if you walk up to someone, you're not just seeing their name, but you're getting a quick, yeah, sense of, you know, are they totally into the same things as you are? Are they different? In which case, let's have a chat about what I don't know and what,
right,
you don't know about me. And I thought it was a really nice idea. And then, obviously, from a design point of view, it doubles up as a, you know, as a piece of branding for the event and some nice little animated things that sit in the background.
The other nice touch about that talk was where she put the images for all the conference attendees,
right,
and highlighted the ones where people didn't answer questions.
Yeah.
Right, where they were basically, there was no spike.
That's right. Right.
And then the few that were the maximum of each of those 8 categories, and,
yeah,
and she didn't know whether people, they actually think that their own strengths are all these things, or,
yeah,
if they just said, yeah, it's a 10 for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, I really liked that one.
Anna, you have a favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Jessica Bellamy's, to be honest.
Really?
I think she was the one from Kentucky,
yeah,
who,
yeah,
does,
yeah,
kind of more infographic work, but focused on like a very like, the low economic colored group of where she grew up in, where, mm-hmm, her family has roots in. And I think this is a use of data visualization, infographic design in its most valuable way.
Yeah.
She also gave a fire talk. Like,
she really did, right?
She had 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She explained, I mean, I'm American, so maybe I have a little bit of a bias because I think Americans can give great, like, emphatic presentations, and I think she did a wonderful job with that. And I also think, like, whereas some of the other talks were like, aha, I am researching in this, like, echo chamber of me and my other researcher friends,
yeah,
where, mm-hmm, we ask research questions to each other, or the people who are amazing, high Twitter follower visualization superstars are only talking to each other. She was like, look, here's where I'm coming from. This is what I'm doing. And this is the impact that it's having in,
yeah,
a real social context. And that's the stuff that I think that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed up, fire talk, walked off stage. And it was like, that's
what
I wanted.
She also had this whole part of like, she wasn't just making infographics about socially conscious issues. Like,
yeah,
she was doing things in the community and then taking the information from the community and then visualizing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't
yeah,
it wasn't like, oh, I'm a designer interested in these topics.
Right.
It's like actually volunteering and doing.
Right.
Stuff
and
on
she
the
wasn't
ground.
Like, ah, here's a design thinking approach,
right,
walking us through these, like,
right,
this is where we talk to our users and we go observe them, and they're like, you know,
yeah,
when you go to these
the post-it
conferences.
Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, no, I sat down at a place that's a restaurant that sells whiskey by the drink. And then we like discussed with these people who are like hurting and feeling stuff. And I, she didn't need to observe anybody like a researcher. She was like, no, doing it. This is it. Yeah. And I just felt like that was it. Yeah,
just like a really great way of holding power to account as well. Like we always, I feel like as an industry, sometimes we wonder why we're doing this, but how we're assessing the value of what we're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's talking about you're able to go out and, you know, come face to face with local politicians and say, hey, like we've actually got the facts here about how you failed on this policy or something. And it's just a really great tool at that level, like, you know, really immediate.
Yeah.
And her like phrase of like, I actually gave them weapons. We talk about data visualization as a tool to convince people or to make money or to convince our clients and all that kind of stuff. But she was like, no, I gave them weapons.
Next level up from the tools.
Yeah. Very 2018.
Yeah. But not afraid to say it. And I think that's like super valuable because we all maybe think like, oh, we call it tools, but really we mean weapons sometimes.
All right, John, what about you? Your favorite?
I thought Martin Wattenberg Fernando Viegas this morning was awesome.
Yeah.
So that was looking at the use of data visualization in machine learning and AI to sort of identify patterns and to help in this difficult process of explaining how some of these models actually work. There were a couple of things I really liked about it. One is just that the AI is sort of having increasingly big impacts on people's lives, and a lot of people don't really know much about it. There's just this view that it's all very sci-fi, and I think the more that people can actually appreciate what's going on here, including how, you know, the dumb mistakes that some of these things make. Like we saw examples where a frog had been labeled as a cat or an owl was labeled as a dog or something. And I think just demonstrating what's going on behind the scenes and how in some cases it's quite simple is just really valuable. And it's clear that DataVis can do that. And then separately, they used this example of a live data visualization explorable piece, which demonstrates how biases can be reproduced by supposedly sort of objective meritocratic models. And again, I think it's a really, really important thing to demonstrate and to talk about as someone raising the question that it's not necessarily that AI is making things biased, but when you've got a highly unequal world, and you know that it's that unequal world that's been set down in data, then if you then rely on that data I thought really awesome stuff. And then I think they're really inspirational people who've done awesome work in this field for years now, so it was great to get a chance to see them and speak to them.
Let's hold on 1 second. I'll wait for them to go. All right,
any more highlights?
I think the one that I liked the most maybe was Valentina De Filippo's talk on maps. She had this really cool
workshop.
I don't know, would you call it a project? It was a thing that she does where she has people draw. But we did it. We did it at dinner last night where she has people draw a map of the world. And what was interesting is she's done it in different places, and where you put the center of the world is
where you are.
Where you are, where you're from. Yeah.
Or in case of the UK, correct.
And also the detail of your knowledge of your local ships.
It's
pristine, but then you get to far from places that you've never been to.
Right.
It's like a blob.
Right. It's like a blob. And then she talked about doing it in her workshops, which I think was a great exercise that I'm definitely
trying. And what she talked about is the idea that people can add attributes.
Right.
To that, of things like, where have you been? Where do you want to go? Where do you have nice memories or things like that? So it took you beyond just an illustration to something that you then make
and it more your thematic. Personal experience that you can then talk to people about. Oh, I went to France for this thing. Oh, you went to France.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see all of those, if you kind of overlaid them all, where there's commonality, where I've been there.
Put them all together at the end of the day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought Nadi's talk just before that as well was great. So she was looking behind, sort of showing behind the scenes of the project that she and Shirley Wu worked on for the busing of homeless people across the US. And but the thing I really liked about it, because, you know, it's a beautiful project, already won lots of awards, but it was seeing the messy stuff behind it, like the fuzzy matching she was doing on text because of different spellings of places.
Yeah.
The rough GG plot charts, dozens of which she mocked up. And I think quite often in this community, we just see the end product.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, it can give people sort of imposter syndrome. You think, oh, I'm never making anything that's that good.
Yeah.
But when you realize that, you know, everyone's making, you know, crap stuff along the way to find the gems that you then make in D3 and whatever. And yeah, I just thought it was really nice because, you know, Nadi's work is all stunning.
Yeah.
And it was great to be like, oh no, I've made charts that look like that as well.
Yeah.
Need to get them looking like that. So.
Yeah. I loved Pedro Cruz. Was it this morning?
Dendrils.
That's right, the dendrogram of immigration tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that project in every conceivable way. Everything about it just ticks a box for me in terms of its meaning and its astute choice.
Do you want to talk about that? So for people who... most people listening to the show have seen it, but... Just...
Yeah, this is going to work really well in the audio. It's a tree rings dendrochronology. So the idea was that he took this concept of looking at, I think, over 150 years-ish of immigration to the US. And he plotted this into these sort of rings, these kind of contour rings of decades. And then he used colour and little mark indicators to, I think, represent 100 immigrants or something in a unit. And then the colours indicated the origin, whether it's from Europe or South America, from the Far East, you know, different, there's 7 different origins.
Yeah.
And then this kind of animation builds up, but then you see the kind of collective ring, you see the bulges of where there's been dominant immigrations from, you see the context of Americans who are homeborn, what kind of the phrase that he actually used, but, you know, just to give it some context.
Mm-hmm.
And then he split it out into 50 states,
for each state, and put on a map.
And so, again, you see the size of the population, but it was so cool how where the states are, it kind of comes from their neighboring continents, effectively.
Yeah. Well, what was also neat about his way he set up the talk of, you know, he was very clearly conscious of the visual imagery he was going for.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he has this little video where the thing is animating and there's, you know, sounds of trees rustling in the background. It's just
little birds and stuff. Yeah. I think above that, the general theme that I've most enjoyed about this conference is just lots and lots of different people who I've not heard speak before, and actually many of them I've not come across or met before. Just having the chance to learn about new people, new projects, and give them a chance to have a voice, because it's the format with the rapid nature of the talks, not just the lightning talks, but the longer form, means you can fit in more speakers. And as somebody who was on the panel for sort of judging the proposals, I know that hundreds of other pieces that would be fantastic and would have merited any conference that didn't make it. So the people who've made it, you know, have obviously got some really interesting things to say. And, you know, naturally, not everything strikes a chord with everyone. You know, there's some things that I'm interested in learning about, but, you know, it's just not my immediate, you know, machine learning is not something I'm immediately involved in, but I'm glad to be given the chance to learn from somebody who does, whether that manifests as something of interest later on or not.
I mean, I think to that point, what I liked about the setup of the conference was that it started with these two or three talks about the history of information visualization, and then it felt like it moved forward in time as well.
Yeah.
Because we started with the history of information visualization, and then today we started with machine learning, which is like, you know, the next where we're going. And then in between are all these, you know, various projects on that are, you know, some are static, some are using qualitative data, some are you know, doing interactive stuff. Some people worry about mobile. I like that having a whole, I assume it was a conscious decision, but like having this theme that sort of this arc throughout the entire couple of days.
You know what I thought that was a little bit different than other conferences that I've been to is these, like, I really thought the audience was much more critical.
Yeah.
And not just like
questions.
Critical to each other, like, oh my god, did you hear that talk?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, terrible. No, it was like they raised their hand, they were like, I actually know something about this as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's always like the one person who asks the question but then like preface it with their whole that's a different person. It's the person who's like, actually, and not even just have you thought about this, but more like a very poignant question that makes the speaker And I mean, the goal is like not to throw them off guard, but also to be like, hey, but like, have you thought about ethics about this? Or have you really thought about the effect of history in terms of this question that you were asking and presenting? Like, I thought that was cool. Usually people are just like, good talk. And here's a softball.
Right.
But this one, I was like, sometimes.
Well, the data ethics question came up a lot.
Yeah. I think it was after the machine learning one this morning, there was a question which was, it was a good sort of 5-minute question, but it wasn't one where it was 5 minutes explaining who that person was. It was just a sort of absolute...
It was sort of complex, isn't it?
A sort of real razor-sharp critique, itself drawing on work maybe of the woman who asked it or the work that she'd read. And you could see from Martin and Fernanda sort of grinning that they were like, this is an amazing question. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that is classic.
But actually, every speaker's had a very articulate response. And then, I mean, they are hard things to navigate through a good question that actually answers the question that's been raised.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's dealt with those very well.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's part of that having sort of a lot of academics among the attendees critique really is a crucial part of what
you do. Yeah.
Would there be we don't need to go on for too much longer, but were there any topics you would have liked to have seen discussed? I mean, there was a lot here, and there's a ton of content, so I'm not saying there's anything missing, but like, is there something of your personal interest that you would like to see someone get up there and talk about?
I mean, I guess I have a sort of just a personal bugbear at the moment about how there's so much attention on perception of, you know, precision reading of charts. And my feeling is that most people outside of this practitioner and data and academic community don't read charts in that way. They're not really looking at them pixel by pixel.
Mm.
They're reading them as a unit that makes an argument. And, you know, obviously that's an equally sort of black and white binary view. I don't think it's either or, but I'd be really interested to see some more debate about, you know, are we sure that this is how people are actually evaluating our charts, and more focus on, you know, memorability, making a memorable point overall, rather than like, you know, are people reading each of these bars actually?
Well, and I think Sarah Campbell's piece yesterday about feeling numbers was kind of touching on that idea of the alternative end of the spectrum, you know, gist sense of quantitative numbers, but then also feel towards qualitative values that you can't reasonably put into it.
No, a
bar chart.
Right. Yeah,
for that reason. So, to be honest, I thought, you know, there's a full spectrum of topics. I'm struggling to think of a thing that I feel is missing, other than just a very selfish, myopic view of hearing about freelancers and how they do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's not for
the strategy. I feel like the data ethics thing, because there are so many questions, that's one that's I would like to hear.
Yeah, it's actually been spoken about as a topic that's been more asked about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the answers to those questions have been really good. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly a topic that we
actually
need to consider, right?
Come to think of it, I mean, if you think about a lot of the coverage post US election regarding trust in data, trust in forecasting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I guess that was elements of Martin and Fernanda's talk about, you know, trying to make this invisible thing that's happening behind the scenes a bit more visible, but equally, you know, there could be something a bit more explicit about the discussion about trust.
Yeah, and trust in institutions.
Yeah.
Anna, you have anything?
Yeah, no, I think something I used to be a frequent UX, UI conference goer, interaction design conference goer, which is a different world than a visualization conference goer. And I think something that gets covered there is a lot about testing, and it was like maybe a subsequent subject of your point, which is like, if you design digital products, a lot of the thing that you have to spend the most time on is testing and getting to know your users. And I think that's something that sometimes visualization misses, because they just make something beautiful like tree rings or I don't know, anything from National Geographic or Washington Post. There were people who blatantly said, don't really know my audience. I don't really know my audience. And you're like, you're on paper. What the hell? Like, or you're building. I mean, this is why the conversation from Deutsche Bahn and Christian Lese, like this, the peak spotting, they know who their users are. Oh, they sat with their users. And that was like a UX talk, right? Like this is about UX and visualization together. And everybody else is kind of like, we kind of just looked at it together.
We did a number of clicks. Like the rest of it is like, oh, we looked at clicks.
Yeah, it's the easiest answer, right?
But
I looked at it within my team,
right?
Of my team of experts who are not user testing experts, right? Like, where is this in visualization? Like, how do we know if people can read this? And do we know
when
it's
kind of like an ancestry thing. So if you come and join, you know, a major newspaper newsroom like that, maybe you just kind of inherit the style guide that's so evolved over time that you just assume that this has been shaped around what is relevant, interesting, and useful to people. Yeah. But you're right.
It's a bad assumption to make. It's a bad assumption to make.
That's the opposite.
As us working at newspapers, we know, like, and as soon as you ask it, you find out like this, they're like, huh, what? Not really sure. And as the mediums change, it's also like a much more relevant question to ask. Because if you work at a traditional media organization, it's like, yeah, maybe we know our print audience, but do we know our digital audience, right?
Right, yeah.
There's so much to learn from these, like, these spaces together, but I think up until this point, I haven't heard a lot about user testing and visualization arena. Yeah. Cool to hear about.
One other thing that you just reminded me of was in that Deutsche Bahn talk, one thing I really liked was that, you know, that showing all this amazing, intricate and powerful and useful visualization, and then they showed the animation of the trains moving around Germany, and that was the point where the whole audience sort of went, "Ooh!"
Right?
But they said straight
the
away,
token visualization.
Right. Yeah. But they were really honest and said, "We made this as well, but we don't use it at all. There's no use."
They didn't need it.
But it was. I just like that because it's number one. It's just being honest and saying. But they described how it was an important thing to make because it got people to realize, you know, they really had something cool here. Mm. It was a thing to make the team more passionate and to convince them that the data was what they thought it was. But I think it's worth thinking about, again, when we make visualization, it's not always about, is this going to change the world? You know, so Jessica Bellamy's stuff was all about, how's this going to change things? Sometimes it's, how's this going to inspire people? Maybe as, just as part of a sort of side shoot off from a main project. But just it was a cool point.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
That's great. Cool. Andy, Anna, John.
John.
John. Thanks for coming. That was fun.
Thank you.
Cool, thank you.
Cheers.
And thanks everybody for tuning into this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to come back in a couple of days. I'll have the transcription ready for you at the bottom of the show notes. Please also check out my Amazon affiliates page. And if you are able, please head over to my Patreon page and help support the show. So until next week, this has been the Policy Viz podcast. Thanks so much for listening.